Heyo, you're listening to Edge Coach Quip, featuring our very own Edge coaches and community dropping knowledge nuggets to fuel your day.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Coach Quip. I'm Coach Robin.
I'm Coach Chris.
This is episode 207.
Today we're talking about maximizing your taper so that you can minimize your race day struggle.
What? There are things we can do right now to make race day easier?
Everybody has a lot more time in taper, and this is the time that we hear athletes really start to freak out. Like, they don't know what to do with the time that they're not running because you've been building week on week and just got off of your longest week of running. When we start to reduce that volume, in theory, you have more time to spend, and a lot of people get really in their minds about it.
So, real talk, we created this so that you all won't go all crazy pants on us. Because if there's one thing that run coaches, I don't want to say don't like, but I approach with a lot of trepidation, is taper, especially the first 2 weeks when you are starting to get in your own heads and going a little bit cray cray. So we're like, let's put together a list of things that you can do right now that take time so that you're not going crazy, you know, that are going to ultimately help you have a better race and struggle less on race day.
Yeah, so there are 11 tips that we came up with to help you in this time, ways that you can spend your time that's not running that will actually make your race day easier, smoother, and just a better experience overall.
And the last two on this list are the ones that everyone forgets, so make sure to watch and listen all the way through.
First up is to follow the plan. We have said this time and time and time again over the last several months. I feel like we keep saying follow the plan, but this is so true during taper. You cannot cram for a race, so we want to make sure that you are showing up fit and fresh, and that means backing off. That means following your plan and the reduction of volume just as it's written.
The second one, I love this one so much, is to draft and start to practice an actual schedule. So when we did our first kind of long distance race, I remember that this was something that my coach told me to do. And I mean, I'm not like super, super type A, but I love to follow a schedule. I like to have things already laid out beforehand. So this is literally day before, night of, morning of, exactly what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. And this way, you're not like running around like a chicken with your head cut off because you're like, oh my gosh, where are my socks? Where is my sports bra? Did I eat my oatmeal? Did I eat my whole oatmeal? Right? If you have the schedule already lined up, you know at 7 p.m. you're going to watch, you know, two episodes of Modern Family and then with your feet up, right, while you drink your electrolyte drink. And at 8 p.m. you're going to brush your teeth and go to bed. You're not thinking about what is next.
I love this one because if you make that plan, say, like early in your taper, right, you have all of that time before, say, the plan is for the last 3 days or when you arrive to your race if you're traveling, or, you know, definitely the 2 days before and the day of. You have all the rest of those weeks to think about the things that you might have forgotten.
Yep.
To cross-check that and make sure that, you know, everything is laid out for you. And when you do that, it really takes the stress out of having to fear that you're forgetting something.
Yeah, you know? Because you're kind of dumb race morning.
Oh.
Like, anxiety is high, right? Forgetfulness is also high.
Yeah.
So this way you have a lot of confidence in like, oh, I'm just literally following along.
Exactly. So along those lines, make a checklist and set up your gear a few days before, and definitely before you travel if you're going to an away race. But if you are staying and racing local, you know, you want to do it the day before, not the morning of, so that, again, everything is set out. You have an opportunity to see what you're missing, and then it becomes really easy to grab and go.
Right, and you can put all of this in the same checklist too, right? So like knowing your gear and also what you're doing from a schedule. So you're like, you know, you wake up, you have your coffee, you poop, you know, you get a shower. I have athletes that shower before racing. It makes them feel awake. You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got one. You know, putting on chafe stick, stuff that I'm always like, ah, oh, shit, where's my gum, right? Like, that's going to all go on that list. And gear is huge because it's like we think we know what we need, but let's actually put it in a list.
Exactly. Has anyone ever, or is it just me, anyone ever show up to a race and had forgotten to bring your gels? Like, you know, it when you said that you're dumb on race morning, like, race brain is a thing, and you're thinking about so many other things. It becomes so easy to make a simple mistake like that. Like, I had an athlete who wore their sandals to the race and didn't bring their shoes.
Oh, lordy.
So, like,
what'd they do?
Well, they looked close enough that they had a phone a friend. But, you know, when you are in that like, state of anxiety or excitement even, it becomes really easy to forget the things that you don't think that you would ever forget.
Yeah, I'm with that. Make yourself a list.
Yep.
Next up is starting to visualize yourself crossing the finish line. So I would probably go into your next two long runs with this idea of, you know, how it's going to feel, the final stretch, making sure that you remember things like appreciating the moment and smiling, or the fact that you're going to be maybe in a little bit of a pain cave, and how do you, you know, take in the crowd. Starting, especially again, long runs with that visualization is going to help you anchor, so that when you get to that in just a few weeks, you are going to feel like it's familiar.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we had number one was to follow the plan and your taper. Number two is to make that agenda for yourself, that schedule. Number three is to make a checklist. Number four, visualize yourself crossing the line. Number five now is to go to the expo as early as possible. Block it off on your calendar, group up with some friends, and make it happen. The reason that we say to do this early in your, like as early as you can, if it opens on Thursday, that's a great day to do it. As it gets closer to the race, you get more stressed out, first and foremost. More people go closer to the race, so you have crowds to deal with. And, you know, I'm thinking about Chicago Marathon. These expos can be enormous.
The list, the line last time, like, was so surprising to me day before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, boy. And there's more people doing it this year. So It's not like the expo can cram any more hours into the day.
Right. So if you do it early, you have the opportunity to stay off your feet the day before, which we often recommend.
Like, oh, just maybe get into Edge, book an appointment. Is that on here?
It should be. You know, you can be doing recovery modalities and things that will actually help you on race day instead of stumbling around at an expo being teased and taunted with samples, free samples to try, and new gear to maybe want to race in that you shouldn't. So earlier is better for the expo.
You're on get in, get out. But I do love this idea of, like, right now during taper, making sure that you're blocking that off, right? And having, starting to set up a plan so that it's not something that's in question week of. Yeah.
Yeah. And these things are huge, and they're often difficult to get to. So, like, you know, in Chicago, getting to McCormick Place, not the easiest thing if you don't want to pay $100, you know, pay an appendage to park your car. So, same thing in New York. So, you know, definitely plan ahead for the expo.
All right, next is number six, sleep. We all knew this was coming. So we know that we do not sleep well before. We have an episode on that as well of, like, what to do when you're not sleeping before racing. We know that that's a thing, which means right now, let's try to bank a little bit more. And especially before long runs, let's try to get to bed a little bit earlier. Maybe follow that schedule that you put together for the next 2 weeks and see, you know, how you are sleeping. That's just gonna make it a lot more likely on race day that you have a little bit higher quality sleep, but it's also just gonna bank extra sleep, which is what you're gonna need as you are repairing all of your muscles. Sleep's our number one recovery tool. We are literally sitting above a recovery lounge right now, and I'm gonna say that.
And here's a little pro tip to combine tips. So in that time of, like, going to bed earlier, one thing that you can do as you're laying there is practice your visualization of race day.
I like that.
And so, you know, that is a great way to drift off to sleep, is just thinking about what it will be like to show up on race day, think about moments of the race, what you're looking forward to, and incorporate that into as a package deal to help you drift off. Next up is to review the course. So number seven, look at the course and make a plan. It's important for you to know, first of all, like, where are you going for the corrals,
yeah,
and the entry
logistically
points.
Right, start logistics.
When we're thinking about our marathon majors, Chicago Marathon as an example, you have metal detectors that you have to go through, and those lines are not really lines. They're more like packs of funnels of crammed people trying to get in at all at once. So you want to know what entrance you have to go to, where you're going to be, where are the restrooms. And then along the course as well, you know, we have a past episode about Chicago Marathon specifically, and one of the best tips in there was to not use the porta potties at the very first mile marker.
Go to the second one.
Go somewhere later in the race.
Mile four, mile five, yeah.
But it's important that you know where those are so that you can hit them. Important that you know where the aid stations are, where your cheer zones are going to be, where your people are going to be. So review the course, because familiarity takes away the stress on race day.
And, you know, on October 4th, we have the last long run that Edge is doing in collaboration with the Windrunners and Chingonas. If you're listening to this now, it might already be sold out, but check, because we have way less than 100 spots left at this point. Mm-hmm. That URL, if you need it, is edgeathlete.me/LLR. Everything else is lowercase. It's also on our Instagram.
One more thing about reviewing the course, if you are local and you can jump into that last long run is great, but if there are parts of the course that you live on, driving or biking it can be a huge advantage, because you know where the intersections are, you know where your people might be, you know where the hills are if there happen to be hills. Not so much here.
But. Well, we have some inclines. You got that one, Mount Roosevelt.
You got bridges. Those are not hills. Anyway.
All right, number 8. I love this one. Please don't check the weather. Do not use your extra time 2-3 weeks out looking at the weather pattern. It does not matter at this point. I believe the bank looks at 48 hours out. That's when they actually make their designation. Or maybe any major race makes their designation in terms of, is the weather going to impact, you know, what type of flag we get? Mm-hmm. Which means you definitely shouldn't be looking at it 2-3 weeks out. Also, we've trained in everything this summer, so you can handle anything. So, you know, if you're traveling, we're going to need to know maybe a little bit earlier than that, just so that you know what to pack. But especially if you're local, don't be stressing about the weather. Don't be messaging your coaches about the weather. Don't be stirring it up in a chat about the weather. It is infectious and does not matter 2 weeks out. Even the 10-day forecast can be complete garbage. So just simmer down there.
This is the one that I think athletes get the most nervous about. Yeah. And it is the least in your control.
You know what? You are better off taking up knitting and sitting around getting your feet up, right, from a recovery, using taper to boost your race day, than scrolling and checking out what you think the weather pattern is going to be in 11 days.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 is to make sure that everything is tested. So we often say nothing new on race day. You have 2 weeks left. Make sure that if you did recently get a new kit that you wanted to wear, that you do some miles in that kit to make sure that it doesn't chafe. If you have your shoes, you know, we've talked about strategies to incorporate shoes. At this point, the shoes should already be probably in rotation. But if you get a last minute pair because something happened, you have an opportunity to put a few miles on them and test them. We want nothing new. Socks, shorts, race belt, you know, handheld, anything should have been tested already at this point. So nothing new on race day. Even if you find a cute shirt at the expo, do not wear it this race.
The amount of people that race in the marathon shirt that is given to them,
do not understand.
I'm always like, how? Did you ruin your other shirt? Is it the FOMO? Like, what are you doing? You don't know this shirt. This shirt doesn't know you.
You're not friends with that shirt.
Well, not yet. Well, they will be after 26.2 miles. But wow, that is a gamble. Yeah, I'm here for that.
I also have a superstition about that. I agree. Refuse to wear a race shirt before the race has happened.
I agree. I think some people, it's like a badge of honor. They've made it. They're at the starting line.
Yeah.
But
I don't know that shirt.
I don't have any of my athletes wearing the race shirt. Also, I want to be able to find you.
Right.
So yeah. Neon, yay.
Yeah.
All right, last two. We're doing a drum roll. Silent drum roll here. You've been waiting for these. First up is charging all of your devices. Spoiler alert, this should be on your schedule, right? Mm-hmm. When you are plugging your things in, to make sure that they are charged. The things that we're going to charge. Your watch. Any type of wearable that you have, like a Whoop, right? Mm-hmm. Or an Aura ring. Definitely your phone if you're carrying that. Anything that you are going to need at full capacity on race day, you are going to want to charge. And we're going to want to make sure that that is on that checklist heading into the next two long runs to make sure. I don't know about you, but like, how many times am I heading out for a run and I'm like, 14%. Is that going to get me where? No, and I want my data. So put that on the schedule and make sure that it gets done before your long runs, before really any runs, but specifically the next two long runs, to make sure that it's just not an issue on race day.
All right, here is our final tip. Tip number 11.
You're really building this one up.
I think that nobody talks about this. I have not seen any other...
I agree.
I've not seen any other video about or a podcast about running a race that has had this tip, and it is so important. Trim your toenails.
For real, though. For real.
You know, it's something that, like, you know, I think, at least for me, I don't have, like, a regular schedule. It's not, like, every second Tuesday or something. You know, like, it's just when I notice.
Yeah.
And if you are not paying attention, this can be a disaster on race day if you are putting in that many miles in your shoes, depending on how they fit.
Especially on a flat course, because you are hitting, your stride pattern is the same over and over and over and over and over. Yep. There's just not a lot of variability of terrain.
Right. So here's the truth, right? Runners do lose toenails, but you actually don't have to lose a toenail to be a runner. And part of the reason of, you know, losing toenails might be how your anatomy is. So like if you have hammer toes or something with your foot. But if it's due to sloshing around in your shoes, that is avoidable. So trim your toenails.
I bet you all did not see that one. All right, we gave you 11. If you have more ways to really maximize your taper and minimize race day struggle, we want to hear about it, so pop it in the comments.
Happy tapering.
Thanks for listening to Coach Quip, original music performed by Mend. Follow us online on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Edge Athlete Lounge. Our podcast lives in the blog section of our website. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, and you can check out the show notes for additional ways to contact us. Ready, set, onward we go.